Welcome to Franklin Public Radio's local election results, reporting direct from Franklin High School, where the polls have now officially closed. Teresa Burr, Franklin's town clerk, is now starting the process of tallying all of the day's results. She'll have her final vote tally of winners for the contested offices a bit later in our broadcast. I'm Diane Joyce. Joining me with coverage and insights on the day's activities, along with a look back at some election history, are Steve Sherlock and Frank Falvey. Gentlemen, great to have you here.
Hey, Di, thanks. It's PJ here, and glad to have you guys on board today. We are here. The polls are closed. Frank, Steve, the next hour is ours, and we're all waiting to hear what's going to happen in terms of the count. So now it's all up to Teresa to put the numbers together. Guys?
Well, the polls are officially closed. There are no lines, waiting lines. The gymnasium, let's try to paint a picture of where we are. The gymnasium is about split in half. There is a white curtain that has been hanging all day long, and it's about halfway down, about 7 feet off the ground. On one side, there are the polling places, 8 precincts in Franklin.
Correct.
And there are tables at the beginning of the precinct, and there are cubicles where each person privately voted with a pen on the ballot. My ballot got rejected because I didn't fill in enough of black. It wasn't dark enough. There was too much white. I had to go back and fill the rest
fill
of it
in. Yep.
But the town clerk now is beginning the process. You can see envelopes, they might be absentee ballots, I don't know, being presented at the desk. On the other side is Franklin Panthers and Peter.
I'm here.
And
Keith.
And our engineer, Keith Palmieri.
And our engineer. And some of the, I gather, candidates and maybe relatives.
And friends and family members.
Friends and family members are on the other side of this beautiful, beautiful gymnasium, which puts to shame the old field house. Steve, do you remember when years ago there were maybe federal or state elections and people would go up to the precincts and yell out the name of the person that voted, and then there would be a Democratic and Republican people checking off the names, and at about 5 o'clock, if the right people hadn't showed up and voted yet, phone calls were being made.
That's correct. Those were in the days when, certainly in a political election, this is a nonpartisan election, being a local election.
Really?
But in a political election, the parties, yes, the Republicans, Democrats, and significant third parties, as they needed to, had poll workers to do the counts. Our poll workers here are truly just checking people in quietly, making sure that you haven't already pre-voted via the absentee ballot.
Right.
That's that check-in desk. And then the polling station itself, you fill out the black ballot, filling in the circles with all the dots correctly, and not too many more than you need to as well. Otherwise, that'll reject the ballot.
But too few, the ballot's accepted.
True.
And
you can undervote.
It's interesting, the theory. If there's one candidate that you really support, or two candidates that you really support, you only vote for those two candidates.
Correct.
You don't for the rest.
Yeah.
But if there are a bunch of candidates and there's two you don't like, you vote for the bunch and you leave off the two or three that you don't like.
Sure.
And it's an interesting way of voting that I understand is being challenged, that the Democratic Party wants to move to this consensus voting, whereby the person that comes in first, if they don't have 50% of the ballot, you have voted for every other candidate and ranked them in some sort of order.
Yeah.
So the candidate in the middle could win the election.
Yeah, there's lots of talk. Some even local communities in Mass have gone with that type of ballot processing. And it's a serial process. You wouldn't necessarily get the results all at once because it takes time to go through that effectively right. a bubble sort for people right. who old technology may that may make a sense that way. It's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen next year, but we may still see it in the future.
What else, in your opinion, is new on the election scene? Is that maybe is going to fade away? I mean, are paper ballots going to make a comeback?
I think until we truly go digital, paper ballots are going to be here. I know there's been advances with the state where you now can use a touchpad to check in. Yeah. They haven't certified the touchpad for the checkout yet, but that's coming. And then at some point in time, we could actually replace the paper ballot with an electronic vote. Clearly, then we'll need to get into a, you know, an ID situation. We don't have a national ID to that extent. But that would be required in order to do that kind of voting process.
Well, Steve, there's a number of people, if you probably can hear the noise now, sitting down and having come onto this side of the room. Why don't we throw it back to you, Peter?
You raise an interesting point about the fact that paper is here for the time being. But one of the key points on the national scene, of course, is the audit trail.
Yes.
With what's going on in terms of the Democratic and Republican parties and outside countries potentially trying to hack the system, everyone feels that there's a certain amount of safety and surety in having a paper ballot. So that particular opportunity, you know, I've always believed that paper constitutes media, and so paper ballot certainly has its value. A lot of candidates have gathered around. They're all waiting. I'm looking at a giant semicircle of folks here, a lot of familiar faces. Some current office holders, and some of them are newbies who are hoping that tonight is a good night for them.
Yeah. So while we go get a chance to corral one or two of those for a conversation in a bit, why don't we get into some of the preparations that we talked about with Teresa Burr and Nancy Dinello, our town clerk and assistant clerk.
Great idea. Diane, why don't you take us there?
Earlier, Steve Sherlock spoke with Teresa Burr and Nancy Dinello about the months of extensive preparations that go into conducting our local elections.
So the election is upon us, November 5th, but you started in June, July?
Yes, pretty much in June, getting the word out there about our local election that was coming up on November 5th, yes.
Right, and candidate papers were available?
August 1st, yeah. Yes, around the 1st of August, first week in August is when the nomination papers are available.
Yep.
That's fine. And the candidates get those, go out to accumulate their signatures, bring them back to the office.
Yes.
You effectively have, I think it's approximately, what, a six-week period to
about
do that?
About a six-week period. They come into my office, into the town clerk's office. They pull papers for depending on what position that they would like to run for, and then they take the papers, they go out, they're required to get, depending on what position they are running for. Mm-hmm. Town council has to have 100 signatures.
Okay.
All other positions have to have 50 signatures.
Okay. Yep.
And then they bring them back to me. They don't have to wait till they're completely filled. We usually give them four to six. Yeah. Sheets mm-hmm. to go, because then we have our registrars come in,
right,
and they certify the signatures. So you want to be sure that you have enough signatures,
right. And the signatures being legible and valid voters of
right.
record in
exactly,
Franklin.
Exactly, exactly.
In Franklin key.
In yes. Franklin is the key,
it
of
is
course.
The key.
Yes,
big key.
Yeah, because especially I know, having talked to a couple of them, one was at the farmer's market. So mm-hmm. clearly one of the questions he was asking is, are you a Franklin resident? But clearly there's going to be some others that
right.
if they signed, then it would still get edited out
disqualified.
In the process.
Yes.
Right.
So when they do come in to pull papers, they are giving information on how to collect signatures.
Correct.
Being yep. that, make sure they use their given name or actually how they are registered to vote. They cannot use a nickname, cannot mm-hmm. use initials.
Right.
The other thing is, we ask them, which is what they can do, is when they sign their signatures, sometimes people sign, you know, they're in a hurry, they mm-hmm. want to help you out, but
scribble it out.
Then they can, if they'll take the time and print their name.
That makes it a lot
it makes
easier
it,
for
and
to figure out.
Yeah. Also require, we do have to have their address.
Correct.
They have to fill in their address, or else it will not be counted.
Yep.
And based on the papers I saw, some people also fill in the precinct, which is available, but not everybody
does. It's not necessary.
Right.
And it's not necessary to have the precinct.
Right. But the address is key.
But the address and eligible name, mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. So then they accumulate all the signatures. They get them to you after the 6 weeks. You process mm-hmm. all that to make sure that they've got the qualified amount, whether it's the 50 or 100. And then that's the list that is final for the ballot.
Correct. Yep. That qualifies them to be on the ballot.
Right. And then they've got, I think it's a 3 or 4 day period to withdraw after
yes.
that is finalized.
Yes.
And then after that period, then you can put the ballot to print.
Yes, on the last day to withdraw.
Right.
As soon at the end of that, it's till 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. They have till 5 o'clock on that day, on the last day, which I think
it's a two-week period
from the last day
from the
to submit the papers
until
so then at 5 yeah. o'clock on the last day, 2 weeks after, it's on that last day, is then I send it off to the printers.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, of all of the candidates who actually submit papers and get signatures and so on, do you have any kind of a sense or statistic as to how many signatures might not have qualified? I'm sure it's a very low number, but I asked.
Yeah, it is a low number.
I don't have an actual.
Okay. So I know a few of the candidates that I've spoken to have made sure that they're gathering more signatures
exactly.
to put themselves over the top.
Exactly. That's why we give them 4 to 6 sheets, just mm-hmm. to make sure, you know, just don't get the 50. Now, on each, there's 32 signatures on
each
nomination page.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's why we give it, because you definitely want to get more than what's required.
What do you think? Maybe 3, 4, if that,
on
per candidate are not legible, or,
right.
you know, they've
right.
moved, or,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Something of
when
that
people
sort.
Go and ask for a signature, people are in a rush. Yeah, 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 I'll sign,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
yeah.
then,
right,
ooh.
Right.
And
yeah.
then,
so,
yeah. they
you're not registered. You're not a registered voter,
yeah.
or you moved out of Franklin.
Right. right.
You know?
But again, these things tend to be fairly exceptional, not a big number of these.
No.
That's good. And then all the poll workers get their training. That was mm-hmm. prior to that period when the candidates have that stuff?
Yes, they do. And we are very fortunate to have we are very fortunate to have poll workers that have been with us for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We do hold training classes up in the training room here in the town hall.
Yep.
Previous to that,
yep.
But town election is just one ballot. Most of the training comes when there's a primary where
there's multiple ballots,
right. And that which is coming up March 3rd, our presidential primary. So yes, we will be holding a training
mm-hmm.
in February.
Right.
Closer.
We do have some new poll workers that are starting, and we'll essentially put them with someone who has been with us for a number of years, so
mm-hmm.
they can basically train them with the poll pads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had them now for a couple of years, and
yeah.
Our seasoned poll workers are pretty good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Plus,
yeah.
they had really good training.
They had excellent training.
Of course.
So.
Of course. Yeah.
yeah,
and we'll come back again, but I think you're still, particularly for the next year, the 2020, you're going to be looking for more poll workers to make it a little
Always
easier for
looking
to
for
doing
more.
That.
Yes, yes, yep. yes. Oh, so please contact my office. We'll love to have them.
Mm-hmm. Get the word out.
Yep.
Get the word out.
Yeah, we'll be back to do that for sure.
Sounds
yes.
good.
Yep.
Hello, this is Frank Falvey and Steve, and we're with our representative, Jeff Roy, to the House of Representatives on a state level.
Yes, indeed. Good to be here.
And you're familiar with town elections?
I'm very familiar with town elections, having run in every town election from 1999 through 2011.
And you can almost predict who's going to vote based on the last 3 elections.
Yes. I had actually run the numbers just the other day to see if I could identify who I was absolutely sure was going to come up. So I looked at the database and filtered it for who actually voted in the last 3 town elections. And it was 2,057 people. And I'll be anxious to compare that list that I generated in a couple months when this data gets uploaded to see if they stayed true to their colors and showed up on this day.
continue to get good marks for engagement.
Yes, absolutely.
And activism, yes,
right.
Which is good. We need that in a democratic society.
I'd like it to be 22,000 that show up every time.
Since we've got 23,000 voters, yes. 22 would be good.
For that sure. would be wonderful.
The Jeff, it seemed to me that maybe the extra voters would have come from the school committee race. There's only two incumbents running. And you remember when the current charter went into place, there was a whole controversy because people used to be elected on a term basis. So they were elected, there were only like three people up for election.
Right.
And we've gone with both the town council and the school committee. Everyone is up. So we could have a whole new slate of school committee and a whole new slate of town councilors. How do you think the school committee, how do you think this electing everyone at the same time is going to work out for the school committee?
Well, I'm hoping that the two incumbents that did run will get back, because institutional knowledge is something that can't be understated. And, you know, having served on a school committee, I know that I spent my first term pretty much observing and watching what people were doing and trying to learn the process. Indeed, when I got to the State House, I spent my first term observing, identifying who the leaders were, identifying who the effective people were, and trying to emulate what they do. And I think it's real important that we have people who have that political knowledge and that understanding of the system. It's you know, it's something that is so important, especially when you're dealing with the education of approximately 5,400 kids that depend on that school committee to set the policy, to set the curriculum, to set the budget, to advocate for the budget. If you haven't been around and you haven't ever looked at this stuff, how do you know what's important? So, I get deeply concerned when I see massive turnover, and that can happen. I think it's happened twice in the history of Franklin elections that you've had massive turnover.
When you were on the school committee or even the town council, how many hours do you estimate in a week you're spending preparing for that meeting?
Well, when I was on the school committee, I would say it could get, and keep in mind, I was the chairman of the school committee for 9 out of my 10 years.
Right.
So that only heightened my responsibility.
You had some added work there,
right,
as well.
So I would easily spend 25 to 30 hours a week working on that job.
And on the town council?
On the town council, it was much less. I would probably say on the order of 10 hours a week, because I was not the chair or the vice chair. And I only served one term, and, you know, again, it was a learning process, so.
Yeah, I think folks who do happen to tune in to watch on the broadcast for either the town council or school committee, they see the discussions, they think it's easy because that's all you're doing, that 1 hour, 2 hour meeting, but to your point, you're spending hours behind the scenes, off camera, either in subcommittee meetings or at least preparing to come in to make a decision that's affecting on the school side. That's half the Franklin budget. That's a $60 million budget for 5,000 students, another, 600 teachers, et cetera. So that's a lot of responsibility.
I don't think people have a real understanding that, you're on at a meeting for 2 or 3 hours every 2 weeks. But as you said, subcommittees, there's a budget subcommittee, there's a community relations subcommittee, there's a policy subcommittee, so you're having meetings there. And you have to get prepared for that particular meeting. Also, every 3 years, there are negotiations of the contracts. On the school side, you have teacher contracts, you have EA contracts, you have all the various
cafeteria workers,
those are negotiations that involve probably 15 to 20 meetings that last an hour or two each meeting, and you have to prepare for that. You have to read. As a school committee member under Massachusetts law, you have to attend a training put on by the Massachusetts Association of School Committees. So that's something you're going to leave the district and you're going to go and you're going to spend a day or so learning. There are conferences that you go to.
Sure.
It's a lot of work, and I have to tell you, I hold my hand out to those people who have stepped up to the plate. You had a lot of people out there running for office this year, and that's exciting. I think that really attracted people to come out and vote because they saw that they really had true choices in this election.
Thank you for continued representing Franklin and Medway in the House of Representatives.
I can say I'm glad that I had a year off to rest, and I see that all my friends here today stood out in the rain, in the cold, for 14 hours, and God bless you all. Thank you for stepping up to the plate, and let's get these results soon, and I hope we have a lot of celebrating to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Back here in the Franklin High School Gymnasium with Beth Wehrling, who was a write-in candidate for the planning board. So you just decided recently, I guess.
Yes, about 10 days ago, I was approached by Melanie Hamblin and Jane Curran and asked if I would consider a write-in campaign. You know, if they started one, got the word out there. If I won, would I accept a position? And I said, absolutely. So, you know, I hadn't really considered it, but then, you know, I jumped in the game, and here I am tonight waiting for the results with everyone else.
Like everyone else, we are waiting here with bated breath. They'll come up with the process. And you do have a planning background, I know, because we've crossed paths a few times in different meetings, et cetera.
Yes. Yeah, my background, education-wise, I went to school for planning and, you know, have worked actually in the town. I was a town planner for 8 years, and now I'm a planning and construction manager over at Gillette Stadium with the Kraft Group.
With the Kraft Group, and they're doing a little bit of building there.
Oh, just we're always busy, always building, so job security.
Indeed, good. So if, assuming, well, there's two ways to go, so you could win, and happily, that's great. But if you didn't, would you consider coming back again the next time around?
Yeah, you know, it's a learning experience tonight, so if I don't win, you know, I'm really happy to see the support for the planning board members that are currently on the ballot and that they move forward and succeed. And if I don't, then, you know, in a couple years, 2 years, then I'll formally pull papers and run, you know, in position. And tonight, just a learning experience to get my name out there.
Well, thank you for taking the time and the effort to both come in as the write-in candidate, and good luck with that. Yeah. And thank you for also for taking time to speak with us tonight. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, and good luck to all the other candidates out there tonight.
Thank you, thank you.
I'm Frank Falvey, and I'm here with Town Councilor
Eamon McCarthy-Earls.
And who is beside you?
This is my girlfriend, Melanie Supple.
Hi.
Hi, Melanie.
Hello.
I'm interested. You have a full-time job, right? You're the town councilor. We've already kind of established that it's about 10, maybe 15 hours extra work. How do you find time for the rest of your life?
Well, I think, you know, it is always a juggling act, but it's something I'm really, really happy to do. Franklin is an amazing community, and it's been an amazing community as I've grown up and become an adult in this town, and I'm really glad to have a chance to serve the town as a town councilor. And I think, you know, with clever scheduling, just about anything can be accomplished. I think it usually works itself out to find the time to focus on town matters while keeping up with my regular day job and spending time with Melanie and my friends. So it usually manages to work itself out with a little bit of clever scheduling and just planning ahead.
Melanie, what do you think of this town councilor and
he's all right. No, it's been amazing seeing Eamon grow in the last couple years in this kind of one of his first positions in the public. I can really tell it's a huge passion of his and almost like a sense of purpose that's really connecting. So it's really motivating for both of us. I found I'm a lot more interested in local matters and politics because of this involvement. And it definitely takes time on both sides, but like with anything, hard work and putting the time aside for something you care about always, you know, it's important and it matters.
Congratulations. Your relationship together, and I hope it continues.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Thank you. Best of luck to everyone.
Yes, absolutely.
We return to Steve, Teresa, and Nancy for more on the final 48 hours.
And this year, Teresa was able to get a bunch of the high school students.
Yes. Okay, so we've been working with a couple of political science teachers at school. We've tried this last year. We had a couple of students come in just to observe the election, mm-hmm. and a lot of, you know, the ones that we had really enjoyed it and went back. And we're very fortunate that this year, when I inquired about it with the teachers, that we have several students that are coming. But state law, I'm allowed to have 2 students per precinct.
Okay.
And it looks like I'm going to have 16
students. Oh, good.
Students, which is wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. They love it, and to be a part of that. So we're looking forward to have them involved in the process of election day.
As I understand it, it sounds like you'll be positioning them so you'll use one with a poll worker and allow
Correct.
The other poll worker to do their lunch break, et cetera.
Exactly. So, they'll be filling in.
Yep. They'll be filling in. So they won't be alone. They'll still be in a structured environment.
Yes.
But
mm-hmm.
it gives you that additional resource. So now a poll worker can get their lunch break, et cetera. And everybody else still gets processed.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes. Right. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
So we're looking forward to that. And they are, too. They seem very excited.
Community service, too, right? Church or school? Does it qualify for that?
I'm not sure. It does qualify for that, whether it's that or extra credit or whether the teachers have informed. So
we're fortunate.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Annual reports generally are also available on the election day.
Did you mm-hmm. see them? She did such a great job with those. Paul Vicario did the picture.
Yes.
Okay. Beautiful.
Dale Kurtz, our veterans agent, asked Paul to come, Paul Vicario from Vicario Studios, to come and take some pictures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it online. It does look
beautiful.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's very
beautiful. Big recommend.
Oh, yeah.
So I asked Dale to please, pick mm-hmm. a picture that he would like, and he did a great job. A great job.
Yeah, and those are the hard copies. I believe you've mm-hmm. already got the link for the PDF version on the town website. I'll be sharing that out as well, mm-hmm. so people can get a digital mm-hmm. version as well as the hard copy if they choose.
And we ask those that are able to go online to leave the actual hard covers for our senior mm-hmm. citizens and mm-hmm. those who do not have access to the internet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So yeah.
And, of course, you keep some of those for the final records. You've got some to the library.
We
so the hard copies are
hard
available
copies,
elsewhere.
Correct. Yeah. Assistant living places, mm-hmm. Both the library, the senior center. We will give those out to them. Otherwise, we ask them to please use the online version.
Yep.
If they need
so people can come and vote and basically leave with a copy of Franklin's bestseller.
Yeah, right.
history of what happened in the prior year.
Correct. Right. And they go fast, but they are online.
Yep.
And
then, of course, at 8:00 on Tuesday, the polls close.
Yes.
And then you start doing a whole other set of processing that we've started alluding to.
We do. So how that process is done, we total up each precinct.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us a printout. If there's a write-in mm-hmm. for any position, the ballot will be read, and it'll read a writing. Someone's name has been written in, and it shoots off to a separate slot.
Yeah.
So at the end of the night, we take those out of that bin, and they have to be hand-counted.
So the process is going to slow down because we are aware of a couple of write-in candidates.
I just started seeing one.
Beth.
For
we have
planning
two.
Board.
Yep. Yeah. We have Beth, and there's also for the Board of Health.
Okay.
One other one with is Jeff Harris, yes.
Okay. Right, so that'll
slow down a little bit.
That's going to slow down the count because we have to take all those and add those to our counts at the end of the night.
Which at the end of the night is still an unofficial total.
Correct. It is unofficial. And it'll be announced that way. And that evening, I will announce exactly all the candidates, the total votes that they had received, and also who was elected.
Right.
And then the next day, Wednesday, is another day we go through everything again, go through our numbers. I actually legally have till Friday.
Right.
To give a
certified
copy of mm-hmm. what exactly the totals are.
Secretary
in the
of
winters.
State for the mm-hmm. records. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So those ballots from the high school are transferred then here again through the DPW under police presence.
With security. Mm-hmm.
And they are locked
the vault.
Up. Mm-hmm. Yep. And in the vault, and that's where they sit.
Right.
And that's where yep. they will be.
So our day starts at 4 a.m. and yeah. probably
well,
till 10 p.m. Yeah,
I'm
3 because we have to get
three.
Up. Right. 3 a.m. yeah. till probably about so, 10 p.m. and then mm-hmm. back at it in the morning.
That's right. But it's exciting.
It is.
We love it.
We love it.
I love it. It's one of the...
Invigorating.
It is. Yeah, it's one of the best absolutely. Parts of the job.
And the poll yeah. workers' day, effectively, they go from what, 5:30 to 8:30?
They have a 15-hour day.
15 hours. Still long, but yeah.
5:30 to 8:30 they are. Yeah. Yeah, and they're wonderful. Without them, this would not happen.
Of course.
This
right.
would not happen. Yeah,
we mentioned earlier in terms of the teamwork, clearly
every
person
yep.
puts in
every
something
person.
From the team.
Absolutely.
And
are you interested? Any of you?
We're doing something else as part of the team.
Guys, I see you guys are ready to do an interview, and the candidates appear to be getting younger and younger.
We're here with Maddie Kelly. Maddie, what school do you go to?
I go to Annie Sullivan Middle School.
In what grade are you in?
Eighth grade.
Tell me, is the school system a good school system in Franklin?
I think so.
Yeah. you enjoy going to the school?
Yes, I do.
And in Franklin, for youth your age, is there enough activities for you to do?
Yes, I do think so, there is.
Do you participate in anything particular?
I participate in Best Buddies inside of school.
Yeah.
And I do dance outside of school.
With the Franklin School of Performing Arts or somewhere else?
Franklin School of Performing Arts.
They've been a long staple here in Franklin, haven't they?
Yes, they have.
And I gather you've been in some of their productions?
Not yet, no. I only started last year.
Oh, okay. They're a wonderful troupe. And they're associated with the Black Box.
Yes.
And there's productions that go on there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is your first time at election night after the polls have closed?
Yes, it is.
And do you have a relative that ran for office?
Yes, my dad, Matt Kelly.
Yeah. And he's been on the town council for a while.
Yes, 10 years.
10 years. And what do you think of those 10 years, how he's done?
I can tell you that I've been here every 10 years for over 4 hours holding signs for him and praying for him to be on the town council every year.
Well, he's doing a great job, and thank you for this interview.
You're welcome.
All right, Steve Sherlock here, live from Franklin High School with Frank Falvey and our town clerk, Teresa Burr, and assistant town clerk, Nancy Danello, for the official results of the election November 5, 2019. That's a mouthful.
It is a mouthful.
It's all yours.
That's great. Okay, good evening, everyone. And first of all, I would like to thank you all for running and for running such a great campaign. I'm going to read them off according to how the ballot is. Board of Assessors, Ken Norman, 2,227. Dan Ballinger, 2,134. Board of Health, Tim Cochran, 2,551. Constable, Dan McCahill, 2,031. Phil Brunelli, 2,015. And John Power is 1,611. And Randy LaRosa is 1,531. Planning Board, Richard Power is 2,024. Greg Rondeau is 1,948. And William Davis is 1,845. School Committee, Ann Bergen, 2,246. Mary Jane Schofield is 2,098. Elise Stokes is 2,073. Jen D'Angelo is 1,837. Tim Keenan is 1,756. Denise Spencer is 1,716. Judith Pond Pfeiffer is 1,501. And David McNeil is 1,379.
Joanna Lucier is 1,374, and Ernest Carruthers is 1,146. Town Clerk, 2,780. Thank you. Okay, here we are at Town Council. Melanie Hamlin, 2,277. Robert DeLocco, 2,217. Glenn Jones, 2,157. 2,159, I apologize. Deb Plegri, 2,137. Brian Chandler, 2,029. Tom Mercer, 1,989. Eamon McCarthy Earls, 1,960. Matt Kelly, 1,903. Andrew Basanti, 1,765. Theodore Cormier Ledger, 1,589. And Mickey Whitmore, 1,524.
Tell them about Beth being a white woman.
So, these are the unofficial results. We do have write-ins that we're working on right now. These are the unofficial, and the official is going to be posted on Friday. Thank you all.
Congratulations.
Congratulations to everybody.
Thanks.
This is Frank Falvey, and I'm here with two people that have been incumbents and are returning to the school committee.
I'm Ann Bergen.
And Mary Jane Schofield.
As you just learned, you're going to have seven new members. What's the process that they will go through to...
Well, actually, I think since the two are returning, they'll have five new members.
But it's a whole new board.
It's a whole new board.
That's right, but there will be five. Two of us are coming back, so there'll be five. But it'll still be a big transition.
And what will that transition be?
Right, well, we try to do a lot of things to make the transition easier, and one of them is we created a handbook that we so that all new members coming on would know exactly the different sort of the key things, the legal things that we have to follow as a school committee, the policy about policy, all of the different committees that they can serve on, kind of an overview of all of those things. And then in addition, we're planning a workshop, maybe an all-day workshop to make sure that we facilitate, particularly around issues around the budget, and have our business manager, Miriam Goodman, come and go over the whole, you know, update on all of the budget, because that's a crucial thing always. So I don't know if you want to add to that. And
included in the handbook are suggested readings for new members, carefully selected. The mass, what is it? Open meeting law.
Yes, exactly.
Open meeting law is a key one for sure.
It certainly is, right?
Yeah. Just among other things, get up to date on the policies, you know, what we're working on now. Policy meets at least once a month with the Assistant Superintendent, Lucas Jaguer. And, you know, we're going over the entire policy manual. But anything that comes up that needs to be addressed, the superintendent and assistant superintendent will, you know, give us a heads up. We'll take it into policy and, you know, put it out there for the committee to review and comment on, and then bring it back to policy again, make any changes, and then take it for final approval.
Do you think that this process will slow any major decisions that the school committee has to make?
No, I don't think so. I think we've kind of got sort of a well-oiled machine, and I think we're ready to sort of just pick up where we left off and just continue the work and share where we are, and then certainly bring, get input from the new members and all work together. That was one thing from the past committee, is that we did a good job of all working together and,
respectfully,
working together. And
I think it's kudos to the committee for having learned from their own experience coming on to put this book together
It absolutely is, isn't it? It's just to say, how do we make it easier for the next group to come along? What would we have liked to have known? And that's what's in this handbook, which is really pretty good, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It's rather extensive.
Yeah.
Denise Schultz was the driving force behind it. And Monica Linden and I, we met with Denise and put it all together.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
You know, of course, with input from everybody else. Because we don't know everything.
And it truly is, MJ, it's an inclusive process, isn't it?
It is
any decision that's made. And any subcommittees always go back to the full committee and say, what do you think of this? Before we make anything public, it's always, does the full committee agree? That's how we work as a committee, right? It's no one going off and kind of grandstanding and making decisions on their own. It's how a school committee works.
They can't.
I know, but some people try to.
They try. But
I mean, not this past committee, but in the past. I don't mean the one we just worked with.
Now, they will also have to do a Cory check, and they will have to take the unbelievably stupid ethics test.
It's a very stupid ethics test.
But they're changing that. They asked us for input.
They what?
They asked us for input on the ethics training that we do.
But
that, you know, they're going to change up the cartoons.
But if the people of Franklin have elected people to office, why should they be fined $100 a day if they don't take this ethics test?
Well, I'm going out the door.
Yeah. No, that doesn't make sense. But
no, it doesn't. No. Absolutely not.
But apparently there's been some unethical behavior in the state and other places, not here. So apparently we're suffering the sins of others.
Yeah.
So
one size fits all, unfortunately.
Exactly. That's exactly what it ended up happening. And all new school committee members do have to take a day-long course. It's called Charting the Course.
Not just the test.
Not just a test. This is a full-day course that they are required. All school committee members, new school committee members have to take. So that's quite comprehensive.
That's Mass General Law.
Yeah.
So
there you go. So they have that to look forward
to. And does the law say if they don't take this, they can't vote?
It does not.
No.
Nope.
Well, thank you for taking some time
fresh from the results. Yes, this is exciting.
Well, I'd like you to promote, since we're on 102.9 FM radio, which is part of the Franklin Access Cable, if you would promote your own program that you have on the cable TV.
Oh, yes. Well, no, it's called It Takes a Village, Raising Resilient Kids in Today's World, and it is a corny title, we know that, as I always say, but it does take a village, and we are one Franklin, one community, and what we do, we're kind of worried about some young people, and we want them to be strong and resilient, so this program really focuses on that issue and say, how do we come together, and I interview different people in the community who also have the same mission, and how we can work together and support families as they raise kids in today's kind of tough world. So that's what that program is.
And when can people watch that?
Well, it's on different times. It's on throughout the week, on different scheduled for different times. They can consult the
Franklin TV, franklin.tv URL has a program guide that's updated each week with the different time slots.
Yes, it's on many times, so they would have a chance to watch it.
And then you can set the DVR if you have one of those technology pieces, so you can cue it and then be able to view it at your leisure. Thank you, absolutely, and good luck in your new role with new committee.
Absolutely, and we'll see you soon.
You will see me soon there, reporting.
Yesterday, Frank Falvey enjoyed an opportunity to look back on elections and town politics of another time, conversing with none other than Franklin's own man of many insights, Jim Johnston.
We're here with Frank Falvey and the inimitable Jim Johnston, always a pleasure. Frank?
Jim, I ran for town council twice, the first time when they had a first town council election, and ran for school committee once, ran for treasurer once, and was defeated all those times. But you won elections. You won the selectman, and you were on the planning board?
And on the charter commission and the town council and on the board of assessors and some other things here and there, Democratic town committee.
Well, we got an election coming up.
You know, these elections are really the first part of a town meeting. And Franklin, as you know, was governed under a town meeting from 1778 until 1978. So for a period of before 1778, we were part of Wrentham, and they were also governed by a Board of Selectmen going back into the 17th century. The Board of Selectmen town meeting form of government lasted here from the very beginnings of the colonial period up until the present time in many different communities. And for example, Boston's last meeting of the Board of Selectmen occurred in 1822. So they were a town run by selectmen and a town meeting. And the election was the first part of that.
Right. And the town meeting in Franklin that I used to attend and was not very well appreciated by Paul Cataldo.
Well, Paul Cataldo was town moderator. And what people don't realize is that the role of a town moderator was a very, very strong role indeed. And going back into the colonial period, many of these town moderators were frequently also selectmen. One of the selectmen was frequently the town moderator. But in later times, it was thought that having a selectman as town moderator was a conflict of interest and centralizing too much power into the hands of one individual, because both of these offices was constituted a very powerful office. And I can recall one meeting in particular when town moderator Cataldo was terribly affronted by an especially enthusiastic peal of laughter. And I was really quite puzzled, because this man was obviously filled with bonhomie, and he was a very happy citizen of this town of Franklin. And I'm trying to recall the name of that individual who was faced with the prospect of being expelled from the town meeting because of his enthusiastic laughter and enjoyment of the political process. Now, would you have any idea of who that might have been?
Well, it must have happened at the dog leash law night that they wanted to pass a dog leash law.
Yes, yes. I think that was it. And no,
that was the funniest night of entertainment I think I've experienced.
Well, I believe that the town moderator wished to eject your hindquarters into the middle of the street, actually, and
again,
threatened you with latent and active violence, both, you know. So
only because I wrote to the Attorney General a letter saying that I thought the town moderator didn't hear the voice correctly.
I see. Could that have been possible? I don't know that could have been even remotely possible. But if you say it must bear consideration, I'm sure. But
the town meeting, Jim, they could barely get 50 people there.
On occasion, the first night you might get 1,800 people, so that half of the people would be in the Horace Mann Auditorium. And the other half of the people would be down in the gymnasium. And I believe that Deputy Town Moderator Bob Nugent would preside over that meeting. And Mr. Cataldo, Paul A. Cataldo, would preside over the meeting in the auditorium. And the two meetings were united by the miracle of wiring. And so everybody could be heard, although not always seen. And it certainly was an adventure.
Well, my point
There were phone calls at later parts of the town meeting on the third, fourth, fifth, and occasionally sixth night, which was extraordinarily rare. In fact, I don't know that we ever had a sixth night. But phone calls went out to watering places like the Union Cafe, and followers were asked, citizens were asked to come up from the Union Cafe and join the town meeting so that there'd be no question about the quorum, which was 150 people. That was the legal quorum for a town meeting at that time in Franklin. And this brings me back to something else, because the first thing that would happen back in the colonial period would be a call for sober deliberation. Now, you've got to remember, that the average per capita consumption of whiskey, we're just talking about whiskey, in the United States in and about 1822 was 8 gallons a head. Now, that meant that every baby, child, woman was factored into this at 8 gallons a head. And I think that somebody was most decidedly drinking somebody else's share.
Someone was definitely doing their fair share.
Yeah, and
more.
Yeah. And if you stop to consider the whiskey flask, and I collect whiskey flasks of this period. You would have General Jackson on them, and Zachary Taylor, and George Washington, the leaders of our country, presidents of the United States, and those that aspired to be president of the United States.
Well, whiskey played an important role in those early elections.
Oh, yeah, and whiskey played an important role in every aspect of life.
Peter Jay here. One of the things that I noticed earlier today, as I was walking around, everyone around the high school was smiling. An election is an interesting time when people often get together when they don't get to see everyone throughout the rest of the year. And I was really taken aback by the convivial attitude that everyone had. All of the contestants, people running for office, people who came to vote. It was really, really wonderful. And Frank stepped out, had an opportunity to talk to some good folks earlier today.
Hi, this is Frank Falvey, and I'm with
Rick Ciccone.
Rick, we're in a golf cart.
Yes, we are.
We're not playing golf.
Doing our civic duty, trying to make sure some of the folks that obviously want to do their civic duty.
And is this a Maple Gate golf cart?
Or? Yeah, it's the folks from Maple Gate, I believe, donate these golf carts out of the goodness of their heart. Yeah. Can't argue with that. When people do the right thing, they do the right thing.
First, introduce yourself.
Sure, my name is Matt Kelly. I'm running for Franklin Town Council.
Matt, you're already on the town council, is that correct?
That's correct, sir.
And how many times have you been elected?
This will be my eighth term, sir.
The eighth term?
Yes, sir.
You don't believe in term limits?
I do not believe in term limits. I believe as long as you have a big heart and you're willing to serve the people of Franklin for a job that isn't getting any salary, you should do that, and I think the residents should come out and elect you if they feel like you're still qualified to do that job.
Yeah.
So I don't believe in term limits, but I believe that we should get as many candidates out to run and as many people out to elect them.
Sure, what's up, Frank? How are you? How you been? Andrew Basanti, I'm running for town council.
And Andrew, you've been on the town council before?
Yes, I did three terms, except for the last term.
Yeah? Yeah?
And I enjoyed it. I like politics, I love the town of Franklin, and I'm hoping to get on one more time.
That is great. And if you get on, are they going to see your downtown railroad station?
Like I said before, if we can get a developer to possibly buy the Depot Plaza,
yeah.
I think he could wrap that whole project together with a parking garage and maybe do something with the downtown. With synergy to the parking garage and or to take the Depot Plaza down and just do a brand new parking garage for 300 cars. That's the discussion I've been hearing.
Thank you, Andrew.
All right. Take care, Frank.
Take care. And your full name, Ted?
Oh, Ted Cormier Ledger.
And I hear you're concerned about housing.
One of my concerns, yes. Yeah.
And what is your concern around housing?
I just want to make sure that we have an equitable distribution of housing for everybody here in town. So we need to make sure that we're taking care of everybody.
Steve Sherlock back here at Franklin High School to close out the day. Frank, it's been quite an election.
It has been. It has followed the Franklin tradition of great elections. Not as big a turnout as we would expect concerned citizens to have more interest in, because really most of their taxes and money is spent on a local level. But it's much like when the town had town meetings.
Right.
Here you had pure democracy. You go to the meeting and you vote the budget, whether you liked it or not, up and down. But very few people wanted to make that decision. Mm-hmm. So it fell in the hands of a very small number of individuals.
Right. Speaking of individuals, there's a whole list of individuals that I do want to take the opportunity to thank.
Indeed,
who
we should.
Certainly made this day happen. Starting with the golf carts, and I think you got a chance to ride in one a little bit.
I did.
So Maple Gate Country Club.
Right.
Donates the two golf carts. The superintendent of schools, Dr. Sarah Hearn, and many others within the Franklin schools, especially the high school custodians, helped pull this together. The DPW, including the electrician, always important to have power, right?
They always do a great job.
Franklin Police, the poll workers who did the check-in, check-out process.
Let me mention the poll workers for a minute. If you want to be a poll worker, I believe you apply before the end of December. And it is a long day, but it's a rewarding day both somewhat financially and socially, and just doing a civic duty. I want to give a lot of credit and make people aware, if you have an interest, you can be a poll worker also.
Yeah. Absolutely, and we, based on our conversation with Teresa Gaburi yesterday, we're going to do another reach-out campaign, because with the presidential primary in March and then the September state primary and then the November election, they're going to need a whole lot of poll workers for 2020.
It's also a great experience. Great experience.
And I do want to say that this is the first time in 4 years that parking hasn't been a problem. Now, that's partly due to a low turnout, but partly credit needs to be given to the people that they really put an effort into making space for voters. The real challenge is going to be the presidential preference primary coming up in March, because like 83% of the population of Franklin, how many, I don't know, it was,
I don't have the list.
It was a huge number, 15,000 or something.
Yeah. That was in voters. November. That wasn't in a primary, though.
That wasn't in the primary, but the primary draws a lot of people.
Sure, it will. It's a very contested election. Continuing along the list of thanks, certainly to the voters who granted. Maybe not everybody came out today, but we got 23,000 voters.
On a muddy race. Yeah. It was a muddy race today.
Definitely.
You had to be a mudder.
Yes. Our thanks to the candidates. Certainly they put in a whole lot of time to prepare for their campaign, whether they win and they continue to now serve on our behalf, or if they've lost, they've got some lessons learned, and hopefully they'll still come back to help that democratic process be strong. To the town clerk and her assistant, and to all their staff, of course.
Amen.
This would not happen without them.
Amen.
And last but not least, to my co-workers here in the Franklin Public Radio. Frank, thanks to you. Pete, Keith, and I'm sure there's a few others maybe behind the scenes that have done something, and I don't have their names readily at hand.
James Johnson, the former high school teacher, in the interview that he was
Jimmy
so
Johnston.
Gracious to do.
Absolutely.
From his home.
All right. Always makes it part of the show. Thank you, Jimmy.
So thanks all, and we'll catch you on the other side for another election someday.
That's our complete roundup of all election day results from the polls at Franklin High School. Our congratulations and very best wishes go out to all the winners. This wraps up our local election day coverage on Franklin Public Radio. Again, our thanks to Teresa Burr and Nancy Dinello, their staff and volunteers, for all they do to make this all come together and to make coming down to the polls to vote as easy and enjoyable as possible. For Frank Falvey, Steve Sherlock, Jim Johnston, Peter Jay, I'm Diane Joyce. Thanks for listening. This is FPR.